بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to the Ulama Profile with myself, Ubaidullah Bwaja. The 18th of November, Sunday 2018, there was news that just shocked the entire world. In South Africa, just around Fajr time, probably in other parts of the world a bit earlier or later, depending which area you are from, whereby the death of Hazrat Haji Abdul Wahab Saab Rahimahullah was announced and spread through social media. Having known full well that this news was spread many times before, many people were asking, is it confirmed, is it unconfirmed, is it true or not? But when Maulana Khurshid, Allah Ta'ala bless him, then clip was sent out stating that, look, Haji Saab has passed on. There was this emotional ambience that could be felt through the clip, whereby whoever was there, you could literally just feel that sorrow and that emotion and the tears that were going. And Maulana Khurshid Saab, Allah Ta'ala bless him, was just composing the crowd, tell him to be patient, tell them to make dua, and announcing the death of Haji Saab alayhi rahma. And at that time, Maulana also made mention, Maulana Khurshid Saab, that after the Maghrib Salah, the janazah will be performed at a place called Pindal, whereby the istima is normally held. We all know that Pindal is a place whereby those that went there, the istima is held. It's a crowd of note, whoever's been there will understand it. And at that place, the istima is held yearly. Previously it was held over one weekend. Now they split the country in two and it's held over two weekends, just so that the crowd could be accommodated. So at this place, Haji Saab Rahmatullahi Alayhi Janazah Salah was going to be read. I thought, let's go through some aspects about the life of Haji Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi, some incidents of him coming to South Africa, and probably just draw lessons from his life. Perhaps the most important lesson that we could ever take from his life. Those that saw him, wallah, you are blessed. Perhaps you might see somebody like him, but undoubtedly you're going to see somebody as great, as worried, as concerned about the welfare of the greater ummah, like that of Haji Abdul Wahab Saab Rahmatullahi Alayh. He's a person whose life was drowned in the love of Allah and the concern that every Muslim and every person in this world must read the Kalima and be saved from an eternal punishment in the year after. Approximately 74 years calling people to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Not when the time is there or perhaps at a gush or no. Daily, almost 18 hours a day involving yourself in calling people towards Allah for 74 years is no ordinary task. And as we go along, probably we will translate some of the lectures and some of the advices that we're giving. We understand how much it means and what does it take for somebody to give an entire life just to be drenched in that love of Allah. So Haji Abdul Wahab Saab, whose name is Muhammad Abdul Wahab Rahimahullah, was born somewhere around 1922-1923 in and around the Saharanpur district. This is in the Uttar Pradesh province in India, normally or better known as the UP province. And this was before the formation of Pakistan. Once Pakistan was formed and they came to Pakistan, the family, and they settled there. Haji Saab then joined the Islamic College, whereby he studied and he graduated as well. In his younger days, he joined the Majlis Ahrar Islam, where he was given some time and whereby he was involved in the Majlis of Ahrar Islam, and he would be involved in the different responsibilities or whatever was required at that time. Haji Saab had a spiritual link with Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahimahullah, and after a while Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir also had given him Khilafah. Haji Saab was a person whom Allah Ta'ala had blessed in so many different ways. Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahimahullah, for those of us that are away or the ulama that know history, will understand that Hazrat Maulana Abdul Qadir Raipuri Rahimahullah, from a spiritual aspect, from a mentoring aspect, was a very senior, very great, and a very profound alim that was in that area of the India, Uttar Pradesh province, or the UP province. In probably the year 1945, Maulana then spent some time in the company of Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayh. Now Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayh is one of those people on whom the work of Dawat and Tabligh and its backbone is Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayh. He was the one that had the concern, had the worry. He probably spent about 6 months in his company learning and understanding the worry of the Ummah, what it means to have a cry for the Ummah. You know, in the words of Maulana Tariq Jameel, he said, Nabiyo wala dard. That worry, that concern, that feeling of compassion from the deep recesses of your heart for somebody, like how a Nabi had it, that is how Haji Abdul Wahab Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayhi had it. And obviously it came directly from the fountain of Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So he came to Nizamuddin, he spent some time, and thereafter he went back and he came to Pakistan. In Pakistan, they say, there was a few people that pledged that they would give their life for this work of Dawat and Tabligh and to make sure that Deen is spread into the entire communities. And from the five, he was one of them. In terms of the work of in Pakistan, there was one person whose name was Haji Muhammad Shafiq Rahimahullah. He was the first Amir of Pakistan. Haji Muhammad Shafiq Rahmatullahi Alayhi Qurayshi was the first Amir of Pakistan, and thereafter it was Haji Muhammad Shabir Rahmatullahi Alayhi. He was the second Amir. And then the third Amir from there was Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So he was the third Amir of Pakistan at the time, just after Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullahi Alayhi and Hazraji Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So respected listeners, Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi was one of those very great people that dedicated his life for the effort of Dawat and Tabligh. It is said that, you know, of late, not that it makes a great difference, but from amongst the 500 most influential Muslims of the last decade or so, he was from the top 10 of that, Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, from the recognized Muslims that made an impact on the people around the area and the people around the world. Maulana Tariq Jameel Sahab has given several talks in this whole aspect with regards to the death of Haji Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayh. And Maulana Tariq Jameel Sahab said that I spent more than 50 years of my life in the company of Maulana Haji Abdul Wahab Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayh. This would mean, obviously not continuous, he was a student there, and thereafter he graduated, he was in and around the markaz, he would travel, he would be in the company of Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. And Maulana Tariq Jameel said, approximately 50 years of my life went in this way, whereby I spent in the company or in the nurturing of Hajib Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. And in this 50 years that I spent with him, he said that he's the one person I've seen who consistently for more than the 50 years I know him, he was that person who had this unwavering flame and this burning flame of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he wanted everyone to experience this love and people to come into the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just from our side, if you have to listen to Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's lecture, he had one message in every lecture he gave, in every speech that he spoke about, in every one of his muzakaras, or in any one of his addresses to the audience, he would always say, Allah say, hone ka yaqeen, or makhluk say, na hone ka yaqeen, that everything that happens in life, everything that transpires, happens only with the will of Allah, with the power of Allah, with the wish of Allah, and whatever happens, the creation have not the slightest input in that happening, it is only Allah. And if you speak every day for 74 years this message, you can well imagine what must be that person's love and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maulana Tariq Jameel says that Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was sahib-e hal. Now I am trying to just find a translation for it, if probably one of the listeners or one of the ulama can help me, what does sahib-e hal translate to in English? But to give you an understanding, it basically means that that person was immersed in this work of da'wah and tabligh. His whole life evolved only around this. Whatever it was in his life, it was only this work of da'wah and tabligh. He knew nothing else but this work of da'wah and tabligh. His whole life was just this work. Muhammad Tariq Jamil Sahib says that there was one stage myself and Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, we both entered into the room of Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib. So he was wearing his kurta and he put his hand out so that the person that was going to assist him was going to put the sleeves into the hands of Haji Sahib. So Haji Sahib's hands was out and he was waiting for his sleeves to be put in. And in this way he started speaking to them and his hands was like that for about 10 or 15 minutes, oblivious of the fact that his hands were there or that someone was dressing him or someone was putting on his kurta. But for 15 minutes he just sat and he spoke to Muhammad Tariq Jamil and he spoke to Muhammad Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh. Muhammad Tariq Jamil goes on to say, he said at one point when we came and you were sitting on the dastarkhan or you were talking to him, he would have a morsel of food in his hand and then he would want to put that morsel in his mouth. And then something would come about or a thought would come or someone would ask him something. And in response to that, at times for 45 minutes, he would speak with the morsel in his hand, not realizing where he is, what's he doing, who's he busy with. He would just speak about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would just tell the person whatever needs to be told. And 45 minutes would pass and his hand would just be as it was going towards the mouth. He wouldn't even put it down. And 45 minutes would pass like that and he would thereafter be speaking about the greatness of Allah, the importance of the work of da'wah and tabligh, how to live with people. And in that way his entire life just went like that. So if a person has that amount of worry and that amount of concern and that amount of, you know, understanding your life mission. Sometimes we feel that when we want to be explained the life mission of something, we need a very philosophical understanding of it, and you know, it must be a PowerPoint presentation and it must be done in a certain way and you must have your SMART goals and that. Here is a man who understood what he needed to do, he was shown what he needed to do, and he lived it for 74 years of his life till the end when he passed away. In fact, just till the last Raiwin Istima, which happened less than a month ago perhaps, until at that time Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh was speaking to people for hours on end about the greatness of Allah, that everything happens only with the will of Allah, and his life went in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh led his life. Respected listeners, we are speaking about the life of Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, of which he passed away on Sunday the 18th of November, that just passed away. One of the other ulama-i kiram that was speaking, I think it was Mufti Tariq Mas'ud if I'm not mistaken, he was saying that one of the previous prime ministers, he came to Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, they were discussing some things amongst themselves, and then he took out a huge sum of money and then he put it in front of Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Haji Sahib said, I don't want your money, I want you. He said, what you mean? He said, take your money back, but give me you, give me your time. For me, your time is more important than your wealth. He said, Haji Sahib, I'm giving you this money, take it. He said, I don't want your money, I want you. And our markas will never grow on natural resources in terms of funds or in terms of those things. Our markas will go on the sacrifice of the people that give time to it. So I don't want any of this wealth that you're giving me, I want you. So this prime minister was now taken aback. I'm presenting some gift, some charity, some sadqah to a person who probably can use it for the benefit of the markaz. But this person goes on and he's refusing it. And over and above that, he's saying that I should join him. So this now prime minister was in a dilemma, what does he do? So he says, Haji Sahib, such a large amount of wealth that is presented before you, probably no one else besides me is going to present such a large amount of wealth. Why don't you accept it? Haji Sahib was equally witty. You see, it's such a large amount of money that is presented before somebody, no one else besides me is going to be refusing that amount of money. Just as you claim, you're the sole person that can give such an amount, probably I'm one of the few that will refuse such an amount. And it is not that your money that we want, but rather it is you that we want, that you must come, and you must spend time with us at our markaz, and you must learn this work, because this work is not for a group of people or a sect. This work of speaking about Allah and calling people to Allah is the work of every individual. In fact, in one of his lectures he says that when we introduce people by titles of what they are or what profession they are in, and he will probably take some of the professions and he would say, well, this profession or that profession, he said, you've degraded yourself. The greatest profession that you have is that you are an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are a caller towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There can be nothing greater or bigger or more important than that. Why are you degrading yourself by giving titles which are not as worthy as the title of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why are you degrading yourself to the effect that you are not calling yourself a person who is a da'i towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That is in essence the actual work of the and the objective of the work of da'wat and tabligh. And Haji Sahib rahimahullah would love by it, and he would bring it in his life, and he would show the experience of how it needs to be done, speaking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is said in one of the other clubs that Haji Sahib was such, he was probably at the age of 94, 95, and at that age he would keep all his fasts. I mean, at the age of 95, he would keep all the fasts and the roza that he had, and he wouldn't miss his rozas. That is how healthy he was, and how Allah Ta'ala had blessed him even at that age. In fact, one of the other people that were involved in the work of Dawat and Tabligh, in one of the post was saying that he said, Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi one day told me that I should read 1,000 times Surah Ikhlas and 3,000 times Ya Hayyu. 1,000 times Surah Ikhlas and 3,000 times Ya Hayyu, and then inshallah you will have good health. So he said, I asked Haji Sahib, like, how often should I read it? Once a week, once a month, once a year? Haji Sahib said, no, you must read it every day. And I read it every day. 1,000 times Surah Ikhlas and 3,000 times Ya Hayyu. Haji Sahib says, I read it every day. And if you're a person that reads it every day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that person good health. This person is saying, he said, I'm like baffled. How can an individual who's so involved, he reads the Hajjud for so many hours, he cries so many hours, he's giving bayan, he's overseeing the entire markaz, he's making journeys to the entire world, and with all of that other things, and with all of the Quran tilawat and the dhikr that he's making, he's reading 1,000 times every day Surah Ikhlas and 3,000 times Ya Hayyu. What must have been the value or the time management that Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib rahimahullah would have had in his life? So respected listeners, we are speaking about the life of Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the great people that had passed away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we are able to take from the lessons of Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib rahimahullah. From some of his trips and his travels to South Africa, he would always be very particular about following the principles of the work of Dawat and Tabligh. He was somebody that was very concerned that it should be followed to the T, and no individual should be exempt from it. So at one particular point when the Jamaat came, so as they came, then one of the other ulama, when they reached, he came on, and the istima was still starting probably in the day or two in the weekend that was coming. So he went to one of the madrasas where some of the people were with him, etc. And he was, when then they were having a gathering whereby all of those that graduated from a particular madrasa were called upon, and because Maulana Jamshed Sahib rahimahullah was also there, the father of Maulana Khurshid Sahib, so they planned some program, etc. So in that, when they came and they said to make mashwara regarding the program and everything, Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib said, where's Maulana Jamshed?
So they said, look, Marla is gone, he's gone for a program, and he'll be coming soon. She said, but who gave him permission to go? I said, what you mean? He said, tell Maulana, first he must come, make mashwara, do the program well, accommodate for he's going to the madrasa, and once that is accommodated in the mashwara, then by all means he can go, but he cannot just go off like that. So when this was given to Maulana Jamshed, now look, when we say elders, perhaps a lesson for myself and each one of us, how important is it to understand that when you're working with principle, you're principled with everybody. But when you call upon a person as senior as Maulana Jamshed rahmatullahi alayh, as elder and as senior as that, he realized that what Haji Sahib said is correct. Immediately he came to the mashura, he put everything forward, it was decided upon, and thereafter the program carried on as usual. So this is the respect among scholars, perhaps for you and I, something we all should try and inculcate in our lives as well. Haji Sahib, when he would speak, and or he would be in the mashwara, or he would give bayan in the markaz, etc., he had two or three outstanding habits you would probably not find in anywhere else. The first thing he said was that he would sometimes be so tired while giving the after fajr bayan, especially in the markaz in Raiwin, that sometimes he would just doze off to sleep. And everyone would just wait, and then he would get up, and he would just carry on his lecture where he stopped, because he was so tired spending the entire night in the worship of Allah, worrying about people. At times 3 o'clock he would get up, he would remember something, he would call those serving him, get that work done, and that is how it would be. And after Fajr, while lecturing, while speaking, while talking, he would just doze off, everyone would just wait, the person in the front, he would just gently adjust the mic so Haji Sahib doesn't knock the mic. And thereafter when Haji Sahib woke up, they would carry on. This is how he was. And his concern and his worry was such that he would still carry on in all of those things. Yet, he would not stop or desist from giving the bayan, even while he was in that time tired. In fact, in one of his trips to South Africa, he was traveling and he would love to travel. At one stage he had to go to Cape Town. So they said, no, we'll book your ticket. So he said, for what? He said, to go to Cape Town. So he said, how far is it? They explained, look, it's so many kilometers, it will take us so many hours to get there, the flight is so much less. He said, when people will make a sacrifice for the deen of Allah, on that area that they will make a sacrifice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will spread the effect of guidance and hidayat on that town. So we will not go by plane, we will drive. And at that age also, he drove from Johannesburg to Cape Town, Cape Town to Durban, just so that the effect of the Jamaat going out in the path of Allah would affect all of those areas that they went through. And they would drive, obviously they would have turns, because having to meet up the busy schedule the elders have. But even at that age, he would travel for the sake of the deen of Allah, sacrificing what would be something which we would call perhaps a bit of luxury, to be able to have that effect of hidayat and guidance that would spread. So as he was going and he was traveling and he was all the time busy, so he came and they told him it's a ladies program, and he said, yes, he will give it. And as he came and he sat down, he asked the sister, said, just give me a few minutes. I am so tired, so tired. I've barely slept in the last 24 hours. He went one side in the masjid, he had a quick nap, he just refreshed himself, and he came back and he came to address the mothers and sisters. Now that worry, that concern, that love for the sake of the people, that these people must get hidayat, I must tire myself in this, I must make sure that I've given everything for this cause, that was the life of Haji Abdul Wahab Sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown the ummah the effect of one person, what sacrifice, what great effort that the person had made, just so that the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must spread throughout the entire universe. And how one person's worry, one person's effort, one person's love for the entire ummah, one person's cry is just resonating in the entire ummah. You know, sometimes people say we've lost one great person, but equally we've lost somebody that cries for the ummah. Those that cry for the ummah are gone much, much less. Those that worry for the Ummah are gone much, much less. Those that have this deep concern for the Ummah, they are much, much less. They are dwindling, and they are now just very few that have the deep, genuine concern and cry for the greater good of this Ummah. And Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was one of those people. He had great wisdom, especially when it came to the mashwarat and when it came to deciding who would lecture in the different ijtimas. Obviously, when he came, most of his lectures that he came to South Africa, or some of the lectures, was given within the ijtimas, or was given within the markazes of South Africa, etc., or in the different areas as well. Another thing of Haji Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, where many people would look forward to, was that if you would sit directly in front of him, especially in Raiwin, he would get into this, you know, this vibrant energy would be into him, and he would say something, and he would gently knock the person in the front, telling, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" And in that, you know, enthusiasm, and people would just joyously sit in the front, say they could be one of those people that would just get that one small gentle knock from Haji Sahib. And just, you know, it was so loving and kind, people would literally look forward to it, to be able to get the gentle knock in front of Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. Another aspect of his life which I found truly amazing, if you have to listen, even Murana Jamshed Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, I found the same with him. You know, Murana, when he came to the Binoni Istima, not the one that passed, the one previous to this, probably when we were still studying in Darul Uloom Zakaria. So at that time, Maulana came to the Istima. It was held in Binoni. I was probably in my second year or my third year. And then I saw one cassette of my father's at home, whereby Maulana Jamshed Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi's bayan in Binoni, I think around 1975 or so. So then I was very enthusiastic to transfer that cassette onto CD, so that at least, you know, after the Istima we could have both. So after I heard Maulana Jamshed Sahib bayan in the Binoni Istima, and thereafter I started transferring the cassette, then the exact bayan he gave in 1975 was almost exactly word for word verbatim that he quoted in when he came, probably in the late 1990s or the 2000, around there. And I was thinking, Ya Allah, these people are so simple, yet so convinced and of their conviction of this work, that they've been speaking the same thing to the Ummah for the last 60, 70 years of their life, and continuously they still carry on doing so. And in this year, you can understand how much of conviction they had in the message, that they would give the same message to the same people consistently. Allah se hota hai, only Allah does. Allah se, Allah ke ghair se na hone ka yaqeen, that besides Allah, that no one else does, this must come out of our heart. And this is the message that Haji Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi would give. In part of his advices, etc., he probably had some of the advices of Maulana Ilyas rahmatullahi alayhi, or Maulana Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, or Maulana Amul Hassan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. These were the three hazrajis of the work of Da'wat and Tabligh. They were the Amirs as well. He probably jotted some of them down in his travels with them, or he noted them. And sometimes in his lectures, he would make mention of it, he would bring it up, and he would read it out, and he would explain to it in the majma. I've seen in some of the lectures, him reading from the book and saying, Hazraji rahmatullahi alayhi said this, and he would read it out to the people as well. Even in his ulama bayans, there are some of his ulama bayans that I've recorded in the ijtima that he've given in South Africa. The same thing. Understand your responsibility. Understand that you have to cry for the Ummah. And understand that you have so much to offer the Ummah. This was that pertinent message that was given by our elders from the different markas and from the different areas as well. Maulana Ahmed Latsap, Maulana Ibrahim Diola, etc., would sit in front of him with so much of fondness and so much of affection and so much of compassion. They would sit in front of him, that as if though it was a father talking or addressing or intermingling with his children, there is the compassion that they would share with a person like Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi. So there's many aspects about his life that we probably can understand and we probably can learn from. And these are some of it. Another aspect that Muhammad Tariq Jamil makes mention about, he said that the Markaz in Raiwin was probably around 1951 or so it was established, and after that around 1953 was the first istima that was held. So in that first istima that was held, after the bayan was given, Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, he called those that were involved in the work of Dawat and Tabligh, and he said, I'm asking you all now, who is prepared to give their life for this work of Dawat and Tabligh? Who is prepared to sacrifice everything? That if you're hungry, you won't go out to ask people for food. If you are thirsty, you won't go ask people to give you water. If you are sick, you won't go out to get cure. But you will make this your life, and you will sacrifice for it. And on your qurbani, and on your sacrifice, Allah will make it such that this effort will flourish in your country. And there were a group of about 18 people that got ready. Matariq Jamil says Hafiz Sulaiman was at once the Imam of the Raiwin Markaz. He says, Maulana, sometimes three days would go on for us to experience hunger, and it would be a norm for us. That 3 days to have hunger would be something which become a norm. At one stage it is said that for 18 days they never had any curry. So one of these speakers that were there, one of these 18, his daughter was very ill, so they told him, your daughter is on your last throes now, you need to go. And he says, as I went home, I seen the curry that was there, and I started eating it. My family thought, what is wrong with this person? After such a long time he's coming home, and whilst coming home, he's not worried about a dying daughter, he's worried about food, not realizing that 18 days has passed and not a proper meal has entered their stomach. And one of them told him, enjoy this hunger. After this, you won't get this. Allah will then open up for you. But on this hunger, Allah Ta'ala will give you so much in return. So these were the lives of our elders. They made great qurbani. So for us that are here, or we, probably some of the listeners, let us not look at our elders' life in the last portion. Let us look in the starting, when they sacrifice so much for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in return they have got, Allah has already in this world showed them the impact of their effort, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already showed them what it means for them to be able to see the efforts and the fruits of their sacrifice. Just to give you an understanding, that if a person wants to realize or understand how much this effort flourished, just at the janazah salah of Haji Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, people that were following it will tell you that there was such a huge crowd that was there. Probably, I'm not sure of the figures, and even if I tamsak, I wouldn't be able to tell you, but a huge crowd of people that came from far and wide. It was after Maghrib, they had to delay it past 8 o'clock just to accommodate the massive crowd that was there. In the Muhammad Tariq Jamil Sahib, Damal Barakatuh, was saying that as a speaker and as an orator, I'm called at so many different functions, venues, places, events to speak at, and hardly ever am I tongue-tied or hardly am I lost for words. It flows, alhamdulillah. And Maulana is an orator of note. He says, but today I don't have that sufficient amount of words to be able to explain to you the emotion that I am feeling. Maulana said, the earth is crying, the sky is crying, the people are crying, the mimbar is crying, the mihrab is crying, when such a pious servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left. He said, everyone is crying, but in reality, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to leave this temporary world and go into the next world, then most definitely those that came after him, the great lives of Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi'ul Tabi'in, the great scholars, the A'imma, if they have to leave this world, then each one of us equally will also have to leave this world. And this is the system of life, that we've come to leave this world. And that is how Haji Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi was buried on Sunday evening, after the Isha Salah, or after the Maghrib Salah, at the Qabrastan, in the Raiwin Qabrastan, and he is buried there. Allah Ta'ala make it such that we all can learn from the life of Haji Sahib. We probably can have the conviction and that faith of our objective in life, to be able to live it like that and to have that energy to be able to want to achieve something in our life of good, and to be able to make so much of effort for our guidance and the guidance of the greater good. If this can be achieved, truly I think we can achieve a great deal in our life, in this world, in the qabr and the akhirah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. May Allah grant him the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the ummah a suitable replacement, so that the ummah can once again find that leadership that we require in this world. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.